In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I will read the Word of God from the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, without joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith in God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, not a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. The Holy Bible clearly shows us this feature, that the work of the kingdom of God is guided by the creator of the heaven and the earth. The apostle Paul, in unbelief, would not have been able to believe that he would begin to proclaim that Christ which he persecuted, and that he would confess himself, as it said in the scriptures, he would confess that he is one of that group which is lowly, is shameful, is a group that is not worth anything in this world, which the wisdom of this world does not guide, but it is guided by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God prevented the apostles from doing the work of the kingdom of God in Asia. Paul, in Troas, Paul saw a dream or a vision in which a man stood before him, a man from Macedonia, who asked him, "Come to help us." Paul was obedient to this vision, and they set out on the journey. They went from Troas to Philippi. In that locality, there was no synagogue, and so they went to the riverbank. There was a place of prayer, and there they found people who were interested about eternal life. They were able to discuss with them, and many of them accepted the gospel. A certain slave girl followed them, and Paul drove out an evil spirit from that girl. This young girl also had her sins forgiven, and as a result, the teacher in her heart changed. The Holy Spirit began to teach her. The Holy Spirit took her into its service. She could no longer earn money for her master. And so, it was thought that the doctrine that Paul and the others preached is something that brings, that takes people along with it in a direction that cannot be understood by the human mind or human wisdom. The brothers were put in prison into the furthest cell in the prison. They were shackled. And affected by the Holy Spirit, they came to a state of mind that they wanted to begin to sing hymns of praise. They sang and they praised God. At the same time, an earthquake happened and the doors opened. Their shackles fell away. The jailer thought that everyone had escaped, but this all happened only so that the jailer would get a prick in his heart. "Brothers, what should I do so that I would be saved?" The brothers told him to believe. Then he wanted to believe. And he and his whole family were baptized. The brothers came from Philippi to Thessalonia, where they began to preach the word of God. On three consecutive Sabbaths, Paul was in the synagogue and he discussed with people. And many high aristocratic women, many received the gospel. At that time, this was considered to be a bad thing. So the authorities looked for some men who would testify against the brothers. And a riot took place. And because of this riot, they had to go to a different locality. These matters show us how the gospel was received in the midst of tribulations. The work of the kingdom of God has never stopped at the borders of nations. It has never stopped because of human obstacles. These summer services have been prepared with human strength, resources, but guided by the Holy Spirit of God and with trust in God. Today we say that we remember your tasks unceasingly in faith. Last Sunday we prayed in the church in Reisjärvi. We prayed for good weather for these summer services. I feel that God has heard these prayers. Many others have also prayed on behalf of these services. It is important that there are situations where we can preach grace and peace from our God, the Father, and from the Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ. There may be listeners amongst us who ask, what is grace? Grace is something that is given to a man regardless of his background or his nationality or his gender or anything human. It is given as a gift. The grace of God is such a great gift that as a servant of God, I cannot tell you about it. But I can say, along with a hymn writer, that the grace belongs to you poor one, you wretched one. The grace of God is a matter that is given to such people who themselves do not have anything. And it is such a thing that a person who does not have anything, when he owns grace, he owns everything. Peace is such a matter which is important in a temporal sense, but above all, in the eternal sense. In the temporal sense, you know what it is when a country is independent. God knows if there are listeners amongst us who do not live in an independent country. God knows if there are riots in your home area or is there a threat of revolution or even a revolution going on in your country. Even in such a situation, God can give peace, which is above all human understanding. This peace I cannot explain to you. You have to experience it yourself. And it can be experienced with the help of the grace of God. Today, together, we can be gathered together, and together we can praise God and pray to Him. The love of God in the last days has been visible in this vicinity, in this area. The love of God has caused many people to do things, do tasks, which are hard to understand. They are from God. They are matters which serve the glory of God. Paul writes, dear brothers, which we know that you are the chosen, The Bible testifies that the people of God are the royal priesthood, the holy nation, who announce that power which transfers you and calls you into his light from darkness. These people had been called through the Spirit, through the gospel, and in such a way that this gospel was not only in words, but it was in the power of God. This gospel was not just an announcement that everybody can believe their sins forgiven, but it was a gospel which gave the one who believed that gospel, gave him the power and the strength. It is a gospel of which Paul writes that I am not ashamed of this gospel, because it is the power of God, and it is salvation unto all who believe it. This gospel, this power of the gospel, was already in the Old Testament. It was in the midst of the holy ones. We can find many things in the Bible which support this thought that the holy people in the Old Testament believed in the same way as we believe. In the 20th chapter of the second book of Chronicles are the words in which Jehoshaphat was to enter war . The Moabians and the Ammonites were attacking the Israelites. Jehoshaphat saw that this nation could not defend such a great multitude of people against such a great multitude of people. A Levite called rose and said, "This battle is not yours, it is a battle of God, of the Lord." And it happened that this small army, with the help of God, entered this battle, and they praised God before the battle. And it happened that this great enemy was conquered. We have noticed in the scriptures that the power of God is so great that it affects in people in such a way that it brings the glory of God and his kingdom forth. Stephen, who was the first martyr of the New Covenant, he spoke to the people. The Bible tells us that he spoke with the power of God. He spoke so wisely that those who were against him were not able to say anything to him. He spoke long and backed up his words with the Bible. And that sermon that he kept showed that the deeds of these people were wrong and the deeds of God are right. The adversary of God in such a situation is always on the move. And even at this time, they got people to bear false witness against Stephen. And and he was stoned based on this wrong evidence. Then here Paul speaks of the power of God. And he speaks also of the Holy Spirit. These three things. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit must always be joined together. God works in a way that is cannot be comprehended by the human mind in three persons, but always in the same person. The kingdom of God is known for this, that there the Lord Jesus and the kingdom of God are never separated. And God the Father is not separated. But these all are kept together. So that this great power of God could be seen to be originating from Him. And that's why people have gathered at these services who can say in their hearts that we have this treasure in clay vessels so that we can see that the power is from God and not from us. Whenever a person receives the grace of repentance, he follows the Lord Jesus Christ and the other children of God, as Paul writes, that you began to follow us and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that you did not accept this word as the word of man, but as the word of God. When the word is received as the word of God, when the gospel is proclaimed to a person, it is as if God in heaven had proclaimed it to him. And then this person's sins are forgiven also in heaven. When on this earth in the kingdom of God, sins are preached forgiven through the gospel. This matter in Thessalonia had opened. The brothers had not gone there in vain on their mission trip in that locality. These brothers had come there in the midst of tribulations to preach in Thessalonia, to preach the gospel. And their intent was not to instruct these people to get them lost. The intent of the sermon of the Word of God never divides the congregation nor does it bring doubt to the children of God, but the purpose of the sermon of the Word of God is to strengthen faith. I think that you, dear listeners, have come to hear the Word of God for this reason, that your faith would be strengthened. Or there may be listeners here who have, with a questioning mind, opened the radio or are following these services on the internet you are wondering, what is this doctrine which is preached here? It's not a given that this will be opened. Paul, who later was called into the kingdom, was in many situations he says that with the power of God, I have talked to people of high authority and ordinary people. He spoke to King Agrippa, and he said the purpose of his sermon is so that people would repent from their sins, turn to God, and do deeds which would show that they have repented. The correct sermon of the Word of God indicates sin as sin. The gospel, which is preached in the kingdom of God through the Spirit, gives people life, a life where the fruits of the Holy Spirit are visible. These fruits reveal to others, to other children of God, if this person is believing or is he following some human solutions that are backed up by human wisdom. When the Holy Spirit of God is able to instruct a person in the heart, it teaches to avoid sin. Paul was accused of working as an apostle only to make a living. This is not what Paul has said or the Bible has testified. The Bible tells us how Paul wanted to put all human thoughts aside, human things aside, and he did not want to know about anything else except the crucified Christ. This came from the mouth of Paul, and this was strong. These were strong words for those people in his time. They felt that Christians were wrong and they have to be persecuted. I don't know if there's anyone amongst the listeners who are like Paul, that you think that the children of God are wrong. That repentance is preached on the wrong basis in the kingdom of God. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave a task to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins beginning in Jerusalem. Could it mean that we preach repentance to one another also in the house of God? Not that we preach about unbelief, but that we instruct one another. That here, listen, in this or that matter, you believe differently than I do. That this is contradictory with the understanding of the Holy Spirit, which affects in God's congregation, in God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit of God joins, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies. Does the work of Christ in his congregation. Christ suffered and died and rose again from the dead. And he gave his disciples the Holy Spirit, who would instruct the disciples to tell them all that Jesus had spoken to them. The Bible testifies how Jesus was powerful in his words and deeds. Could the kingdom of God be recognized even today that Jesus is in the midst of this congregation? He is the King and the Lord of this congregation, and his deeds are visible in the life of the children of God. Could it be that in the midst of doubts and great temptations and feeling great sinfulness, that the heart of the child of God would contain these deeds of Christ? That even at this moment, the deeds of God are deeds of love, of forgiveness and peace. At these services, he wants to take away from your heart all obstacles of faith. Today we do not want to say it is easy to believe, that it is an easy endeavor. Even this place in the Bible testifies that we are bold in God, and we spoke the word of God with much affliction. Faith includes the endeavor. I have sometimes thought that where have such thoughts come into the kingdom of God that it should be easy to be a believer? When we think of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his endeavor, it was a way of anguish and a way of the cross. When the way of the Redeemer was such, your way can be easier in this sense, that Jesus has carried your sins and your doubts and temptations and trials. Today, the Word of God searches for such a one whose gaze is looking down and is not directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ, but is directed at his own sinfulness. You are exhorted to lift up your gaze, to gaze at the Lord Jesus who was on the cross. Even at this moment, you can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. It could be so that these Vaasa summer services were arranged only for you, so that you would stay in faith until the end of your days and would one day can see that which you have owned by faith, of which Paul also writes, and his Son in heaven waits in heaven, who was raised from the dead and frees us. The kingdom of God has one day, the book of life will be opened, and the person whose name is in the book of life is able to go to heaven, and whose name is not in the book will not go to heaven. And that is why God has blessed these services in Vaasa. In addition to this natural son, he has blessed it with the grace son. He calls you hearer of the word, who are in unbelief, who are searching, where can I find the gracious God? You can find him in this sermon. The gracious God approaches you through his kingdom. You can believe your unbelief and all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. This is the grace of the caller. This is the great love of God toward me, wretched one, when he gave his only son. There can be no greater love than to give one's life on behalf of one's friend. We can remember yet that this is eternal love. We have never believed in the kingdom of God because so that we could be praised by other people, but we have believed for the glory of God. You can make such promises that for the glory of Christ, I want to follow Christ. He bought me with his blood from under sin. Dear hearer, your last doubts and temptations, you can believe forgiven, even those home temptations. You who would have wanted to come but could not, these services are for you also. We want to comfort you. Jesus looks at you just as lovingly as he looks at Peter or the sinful woman in the home of the Pharisee. He wants to show his gracious, his merciful face to you, and he wants to remember you who may be living the last days of your life. And you are thinking as the robber on the cross, remember me when you come into your kingdom. For each of you there at home and here at the services, whatever temptations and sinfulness you feel, believe them forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. The servant of the Word of God lives from the same gospel as the hearers do, and for this reason, I ask, can I believe my own sins and temptations and doubts forgiven? I want to believe together with you and want to give glory to God, who is our strength, our song of praise, and our glory. Amen.